Colleagues, welcome back to the office. It's Steve. Welcome to our podcast for today. This is Everything Google, their most effective tools, apps, services, part two. And in today's presentation, we are going to be continuing our look at Google's fantastic set of features, products, services, platforms, and more. The extent of what Google can offer is truly breathtaking in terms of the number of things that they do. I mean, they've got their fingers in so many pies, whether they be in the search market, which they absolutely dominate, in the hardware market with the Android, as well as the Google Home devices, or in business tools. Google makes a tremendous amount of great business tools that can be used to help your organization in a variety of manners. Whether they be, for example, helping your business be promoted through advertising and marketing, or whether you are trying to earn revenue through displaying ads on your personal website or blog, or if you're just trying to understand the traffic of the people that are coming to your site, Google has a tool for you. And it's a really, really kind of cool thing. So in today's presentation, what I really kind of want to dive into are some of the major organizational tools around kind of analytics and AdWords, their cloud products, and more. I also want to take a look at some of my favorite tools that could be used in your personal life, such as Google Maps, Google Chrome, Photos, and other tools like that. There are just so many great Google tools that you'll find yourself using these quite often in different circumstances. And whether you're trying to build organizational infrastructure and promote your business and do better marketing, or you're just trying to better organize your photos or get from one side of the city to the other through the most effective route possible, Google can be there for you. And so we're going to talk through all these different tools today in a nutshell, where I really want to just try to share with you outside of search, outside of G Suite, outside of Google Workspaces, I want to share with you my favorite Google tools for both business and organizational use. And there are so many. Now, I do want to draw your attention, if you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, whether you are a CPA, an enrolled agent, a certified financial planner, or somebody else, you can earn credits by listening to today's podcast. It is super, super simple. Check out cpetoday.com, use course code GOG2. All you have to do is take a quick, short 5-question exam about what you listened here today and what you watched, whether you're watching it on YouTube or listening after the fact on Spotify. You can earn a credit. Just head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code GOG2, and you will earn a credit for today's podcast. And these are available 24/7, 365. It is a fabulous and easy way of maintaining your license. All right, without further ado, and we have so much that we need to get through today, we are going to go ahead and dive into our first section, which are going to be looking at the Google website and business tools. Okay, so they're different tools, but they're very complementary to each other in terms of what they provide. Google has always kind of made their mark and put their emphasis on search. I mean, that I would say in a lot of ways, the word Google is synonymous with search. As such, they have a number of amazing tools around improving your organizational's ability to be able to be indexed and be able to market and be able to understand your traffic coming to your website, which in turn is customers or they're the public learning about your product, your feature, or whatever you happen to be doing. So they've got a number of really good tools for building and then improving your organizational's website and web presence. And that also extends into the mobile market as well. You know, Google is the company behind Android, the most popular mobile operating system in the world. And whether you're using a phone or a tablet, more often than not, for a lot of people, especially outside of the United States, it's an Android device. And a lot of these tools can be used in that arena as well. So we're going to take a look at a couple of these around website monitoring, as well as improving your search presence, advertising, and more. And what's also kind of really kind of cool about the Google products is the way that they are priced and positioned. Most of the Google tools are free, or if they are a tool that they are going to charge for example, their cloud products or marketing products and advertising products, they are going to be pay as you go. I can't really think of any Google service that is a large upfront fee. I 99% sure of this. Almost every single Google product is utility-based price, where you just pay for what you consume. You use more and you pay more. You use less, you pay less. And what's really nice about this is the fact that you can demo, you can try, you can look at a lot of different of these applications and find the stuff that I think works really well for you. Okay, so the first tool I want to talk about is Google My Business, okay? Now, Google My Business is a local SEO, local search engine optimization tool, and it's a tool that you can use to be able to promote your local business, whether you're a tax and accounting office looking to find new clients to do tax returns for, or you're a pizzeria in Big Bear Lake trying to recruit the tourists that come up to town and the locals to come eat at your pizza shop. Google My Business is a wonderful tool for all different styles of organizations that want to promote them, promote themselves and find new customers and reach out to existing customers. And Google had a lot of this functionality in a lot of different places over the years, but they kind of centralized it around this Google My Business product, where it brings together, for example, the mapping functionality, it brings together the review functionality, it brings together a lot of the search engine stuff that you would normally find. And it's a really useful tool if you happen to be a small business owner that doesn't have a lot of technical competency in terms of what you're doing and how you're doing it. I mean, if you don't have, for example, a full IT staff managing some of these Google products is actually much easier than it would be in other places and for other organizations because they're so simple and because they work really effectively and they're not very technical in terms of the work that they're doing. And so with the Google My Business product, it's a great way of being able to promote your organization, recruit new customers, help people find it, messaging. They've got this whole thing around messaging, which is kind of useful as well. And you can engage with your audience through the search engine, which is often how they are going to find you with respect to what they do. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at what their website is. Now, if you're interested in this particular product, it's google.com/business. Okay. And so this kind of gives you the screenshot in terms of what you would expect here. And this is what it would look like, for example, to your customers if they were to Google your business and find you online. You know, there's going to, for example, be reviews. There's going to be your hours. They can easily access directions, website, so on and so forth. And when you get to set up in here, you set up a profile. You can offer, for example, promotion codes, coupons, and Google offers all of this as a component of this product. And it's not something you pay for with respect to kind of like an ongoing fee. There's no like $20 a month or $50 a month to use this. You set it up, and it will continue to operate. Now, if you want to get paid advertising in terms of like better placement inside of Google, that you pay for, but just for the way of people being able to find you, this is a free product. And I'll show you how your customers came to you. For example, it'll help you understand some of the breakdown. For example, how many calls, how many website clicks, how many people are looking for directions, so on and so forth. Now, this is a pretty common thing. You know, for example, if I search, and let's look up at Saucy Mamas here in Big Bear Lake, S-A-U-C-Y, Mamas, Big Bear, there we go. Okay, this is what we're talking about over here on the right-hand side of the actual search results. Let me go ahead and just get rid of my camera here for a second. Okay, and what this will show us on the right here, we could see the reviews, we could see the what style of restaurant is, we could see the address. And what's kind of cool about this, it'll break it down. It'll show us the different reviews, for example. It'll also show us the popular times. I personally really love reading the reviews in terms of what we're looking for. And this is also integrated directly into the mapping product from Google as well, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. And so, you know, Google Maps is definitely the most popular geospatial tool out there. It's the tool that everybody uses to find something. As such, I mean, having your product in your business on this actual service is like being, you know, in the yellow pages of the 80s. I mean, if you weren't in the yellow pages, no one was going to find you. Now, if you're not on Google, nobody's going to find you. And this is especially true for retail operations. So it's a free product. It's something you can just sign up for. It's something that you can just set up. You It will walk you through the different components with respect to how to configure this for your actual organization. And it doesn't require a degree in computer science to be able to utilize effectively. Now, another product that goes hand in hand with respect to marketing is definitely going to be Google AdWords. And this is the product that makes Google all their money. This is it, in terms of what Google does to generate billions and billions and billions of dollars of wealth. It is advertising, and it is specifically their AdWords product. Now, in the first edition of this course, part one, and if you haven't checked out part one, please go check it out. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, else, and plenty of other places. We go in depth with respect to talking about Google advertising. And just as a quick recap, there's two types of search results that come from Google. There's paid advertising, and then there is organic advertising. Okay, sorry, paid results and organic results. Okay, now, this is where Google makes their money, is through this paid advertising. So if you want to get to the top of the list with respect to having the absolute top search result, well, this is how Google does it. And it is through a auction market. For a given word, and we will refer these as keywords, Google knows what the price is. You know, they know, for example, what the price of the word pizza in Big Bear would be. And they know what people are paying for that. They know, for example, how much they can get for it. And if you want to have, you know, in this particular case, the best pizza shop in Big Bear and have it as the first search result, well, that's how you're going to do it. It's going to be through Google advertising. Now, you can always, for example, create the best possible website. And with that best possible website, you can earn that organic search result. But that can be very difficult, and it can take a lot of time and a lot of money for you to be able to use. Okay. With the Google AdWords, you essentially can skip to the front of the line. Okay. And it's a way that you can actually go and connect directly with your customers. So when they search, for example, Big Bear Pizza, your result will pop up first. Now, Google Ads will work really kind of on any budget. Okay. There are organizations that spend literally hundreds of thousands of dollars per day in Google advertising. And there's organizations that spend $10 per day, or even sometimes less. And often, this is something where you could spend a little amount of money and be pretty successful, or you could spend a lot amount of money and not really kind of find any success with it. And in future podcasts, we are going to dive deep into the world of marketing and advertising. And for our financial professionals who are maybe looking to grow their business, I'm going to teach you the tips and tricks that I know with respect to how to leverage Google advertising effectively. Because, you know, again, you could spend a lot of money and not have any success with this because your advertising campaign isn't set up correctly. So again, what does this kind of look like, and what would this be? Well, let's go ahead and take a look at what this might look like inside of Google with respect to where these search results would play. So if we were on a generic search page, in this example, we're just going to go to Google here, and let's just type in pizza, Big Bear. Okay. As we start to go through here, we're going to see the different results that'll pop up. And if there's advertising results, they are going to be the first ones that will be listed up top here. Okay. So if we were to, for example, let's say... what would be a good one? Let's just try accounting services. Let's see if something pops up for us there. Okay. These are, for example, the advertising. Okay. Ad. You'll see those will pop up here, and they are going to be in front of wherever those organic results are. In fact, I have to go almost halfway down the page before I find the first organic result. It's because people are paying for result one, result two, so on and so forth. Okay. Now, if you search for something and you don't see, for example, a advertising, okay, well, it just means nobody's advertising on that. And that would be a pretty good way for your organization, you know, let's say you are Saucy Mamas for that matter, to get to the top. And it probably wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg. Certain keywords are more heavily advertised and more heavily trafficked than others. And as such, the ones that have really a lot of traffic and a lot of complexity into them, well, those are going to be the ones that are expensive, and those are going to be the words that are hard to compete on. But, you know, if you're kind of in a niche industry, in a niche area, and you're not trying to advertise nationwide, but in a very specific community, well, you can pop to the top pretty quickly, and it won't break the budget with respect to what you're doing there. Now, Google advertising also works in other directions as well. Okay. So let's say, for example, you have a website, you've got a blog for that matter. And let's say you want to make some money and you want to be able to show ads on your website. Well, you know, kind of going out there and finding your own ads and finding your own advertisers and businesses that want to support your website. Well, that could be really expensive to do. And, you know, it's essentially a business at that point, and your business is selling advertising on your blog or on your company's website. Well, Google will pay you if you're willing to let them manage the advertising on your website. They have another product called Google AdSense. So if AdWords is the ability for Google, where you pay Google to display ads for you on their properties, AdSense is where they pay you to display ads on either your mobile app or your website. And so it's essentially an advertising platform that allows you to be able to monetize virtually pretty much anything, whether it be a website, a YouTube channel, or a mobile app. With this, you can find the right ads for your audience. You can, pick specific categories, specific audience. You can say, hey, you know what? This is optimized for this type of content, for this style of device. And this is where advertisers are going to find where to advertise their business. I would say between Google and Facebook, that's probably about 90%+ of the advertising market in 2021 in terms of where people are going to find, advertisers for their particular web properties. So if you want to, for example, display ads on your site, you can certainly do that. And this would be a good option for the casual blogger, or, you know, if you're trying to monetize your site, but you don't want to sell a product, well, this would be how you would do it. You would essentially set up your site and then you'd use Google AdSense, and Google would pay you X% of whatever revenue they generate. Usually it's just a couple of pennies per click, per impression. But it adds up really quickly. With respect to some of the largest traffic sites, think of, for example, your newspapers, or you think about, some of the gossip blogs, TMZ comes to mind. I mean, this is how essentially they make a majority of their revenue, is through displaying ads on their website. And, if you have a large enough traffic, you can make a lot of money doing this. Now, let's say, for example, you want to better understand the traffic that is coming to your website. You want to better understand your customers, who they are, where they're coming from, demographically, what is the breakdown, male versus female? What countries are they originate from? What type of devices that are they using? Okay, well, the industry standard is this tool called Google Analytics. And Google Analytics is an incredibly powerful, a bit complex tool that will monitor your website, monitor your mobile app, and give you the insight necessary to understand who is actually advertising, who is actually coming to this website, who your actual target demographic is. And it's a free tool from Google, and it's a script, meaning it's a piece of code that you'll plug into your organization's website. Good news is, it's not very complex to get set up, but it is very complex with respect to mastering. This is a tool anybody can really kind of put on their website, but it's a tool that very few people actually get enough competency to really use effectively. But when you can, oh my gosh, the insight that you will get from understanding where your organization, their audience is coming from, and who's actually using your site can be fantastic. It's great because then you'll have the information necessary to make better decisions about what type of content you put on your website, what type of products you sell, how long are people coming to your website, are they coming and immediately going, where are they coming from, are they coming from search, are they coming from refer domains in terms of other websites that might be accessing or linking to you. And ultimately, what we're trying to do here is gain a deeper understanding about how customers are interacting with our site and our apps, and how we can share those insights across our organization and make better decisions. You know, the best organizations are the organizations that learn from their data. We have a whole wealth of data that is available to us now. And there's a reason why Google has gotten so big. There's a reason why Amazon has gotten so big. And the reason they've gotten so large in a lot of respects is because they listen to their data. They, essentially collect as much data as they possibly can, and then they use that information to make effective decisions going forward about what their organization will do and how they will do it. And by doing that, we essentially can get a better understanding of where we're going to be successful. We have the roadmap essentially to be able to go and know what type of products to make, what type of courses to sell, what type of podcasts to produce, because we're going to know what our customers are looking for and what that actually means. Now, Google Analytics is a free tool. It's a tool that anybody can utilize for whatever purposes that they would like, and you can install it on one website, multiple websites, and you can essentially use this to make all those decisions with respect to what type of content you're going to use going forward. Now, what's also kind of cool about this, let's talk for a second about our e-commerce folks, okay? You know, this can give you the tools necessary to understand where your certain marketing campaigns are being effective and what you've done essentially to get those customers. You can actually track a customer relationship from the beginning of it all the way to the end. And you can understand, for example, what newsletters, what social media posts that you put up that cause that user to actually click on it. Okay. Now I've got Google Analytics pulled up right here just to kind of give you an example of what it looks like. And we're looking at my personal website, which is yas.io. So if you're interested and want to learn a little bit more about me, you can check it out at yas.io. Very simple website, just mostly informational about myself, what I do, and my hobbies and interests. And, you know, we've got a little bit of information, like my CV is on here. We've got, for example, the different services, my media kit for all the different conferences and seminars and things that I do. And if we notice, you know, there is a Google Analytics script inside of here, and I'm gathering analytics on who is actually coming to our website. And, you know, it's not a very large trafficked website, but you know what? I want people to be able to know who I am and be able to find information out pretty quickly. So if we come over here to Google Analytics, we can see, for example, in the last 7 days, we've had 22 visitors. We could see the bounce rate. Bounce rate's one of the most important metrics with respect to search engine optimization. And what it measures is somebody comes to your site and then immediately leaves. So unfortunately, it looks like about 70% of the people came to my site and then exited that site simultaneously. And what that says is whatever they were looking for, they didn't find on my site. You know, ideally, when you're looking at this, you want to get the bounce rate as low as you can, and you want to get the duration as up long as you can. You know, so you want to provide the best result of what somebody is looking for, and you want them to stay on your site for as long as they can. Now, if we scroll down here in Google Analytics, we can, for example, see the different traffic that has been acquired. We can see almost all of my traffic comes from people directly putting it in, but we do get a little bit of like organic results. And we can switch between this and we can kind of see, for example, where is it coming from Google or if it's coming from something else. And we can also see, for example, other websites that are referring traffic to us. Over here, we can see a breakdown of traffic by country. We can also see a breakdown of users by time of day. We can also see what websites that they're going to. And we can also see how many users and over what duration of time. And then also what type of device. So this is a great way of being able to understand where and how your website is playing with other people. You could switch over, for example, and you could look at real-time metrics. So if you have a much more highly trafficked site, you can get that insight with respect to where and how your people are coming. And again, you know, you can use this data to leverage it to make better decisions about your website going forward, as well as your audience, who they are, where they're coming from. You can explore the demographics of these people so clearly. You can do benchmarking. You can understand what type of interest. You can understand, you know, what kind of affinities and what categories in terms of that they are coming from. So it's a fantastic tool. It's a very useful tool, and it's a tool that a lot of people use for a lot of different reasons. And if you're not using it at the moment, you know, you're really kind of missing an opportunity because it is so powerful with respect to what it does. Now, another complementary tool to Google Analytics is Google Search. Okay, Google Search allows us to be able to understand our website traffic, fix issues with respect to how our website appears within the Google search world. And we can also understand the keywords that people are actually using to search for us. So, I mean, in today's economy, I mean, Google is it. I mean, they have over 90%+ of the search market. And if you're not listed in as good of a position as you can get within Google, it's a really missed opportunity because it doesn't matter how great your website is or what kind of products you sell. If your customers can't find you, you might as well not exist. And Google is where people go. So the Search Engine Console tool is a tool that we can use to better understand and improve our search engine metrics. And so it's a really kind of cool tool for that. Also free. You can check out search.google.com and you can start getting some insight with respect to how and where your customers are searching for you. Now, Google also has a number of other really kind of useful business tools. They have this thing called the Google Cloud Platform. The Google Cloud Platform is what we call an infrastructure as a service tool set. And what it allows us to do is it allows us to be actually build our organization's infrastructure directly inside of the Google infrastructure. You know, if you think about Google, for example, I mean, they've got literally, I mean, millions and millions and millions of servers all over the world. Okay. And they've spent billions and billions of dollars building out this infrastructure. Well, the Google Cloud is used by all of Google for all of their different services, whether they be the Google Workspace applications, Gmail, Maps, so on and so forth. But you can use it too for your organization. They have over 60 different functionalities. Everything, for example, from utilizing cloud computing and being able to run a server up in the cloud, to being able to store data, being able to access and process large quantities of big data. They've got stuff around security, Internet of Things. They've got all these fantastic applications that are really powerful. And instead of your organization having to spend all that money in terms of having to build out this, you can utilize the Google Cloud Platform and you pay as you go with respect to what you consume. This is very comparable, for example, to the Amazon Web Services, the AWS platform, or Microsoft's Azure platform. In fact, I would say the big three are going to be the Google Cloud Platform, AWS, and Azure. And some organizations feel strongly about one or the other. You know, in the projects and in things that I've worked on over the years, I typically will utilize all of them in some different ways. You know, we'll use, for example, AWS as our primary in terms of building out our organizational servers and storage. We'll use Azure, for example, if we plan on leveraging a lot of the Microsoft technology. And we will always need something from the Google Cloud, though. How many of you are, for example, familiar with the reCAPTCHAs, you know, where you have to click on, you know, the images of the crosswalks or identify the storefronts? Well, that's to cut down on spam, and it's really effective for limiting spam and malware on websites. That comes from the Google Cloud. Or let's say, for example, you want to leverage Google's mapping capabilities and help your customers find your business by having integrated mapping. That comes from the Google Cloud Platform. So in today's world, it's not just about like isolating everything into one small platform. It's rather leveraging these big cloud platforms, AWS, Azure, and Google, and building the infrastructure that makes sense for the project that you are working on. And Google has a ton of other cloud tools as well. Two other ones that I'm just going to mention, and then you can check out on your own. Depending on where you are in the United States, Google also is an internet service provider and a fantastic option for getting internet either to your home or to your office. Their Google Fiber products are available in places such as the Bay Area up in Northern California, parts of Texas, parts of Tennessee, parts of Utah as well. And it's extremely fast and reliable. And if you happen to live in one of the probably, I'm going to say 12 to 16 different cities that they offer in, it's probably your best option with respect to having internet access. They also offer a fantastic DNS product. Okay, DNS stands for Domain Name Services, and it's the thing that translates a domain name like google.com into the appropriate IP address and routes it correctly through the internet. Well, this is a really cool service. It's 100% free. There's no even sign up for it. All you have to do is just plug in some credentials on your computer or in your network router, and it'll just work. And it's fantastic because it actually makes your internet a little bit faster because it's utilizing Google's infrastructure and it serves some of this directly from Google rather than from your internet service provider. And often it's much faster. And here's some information about where you can get and utilize this service directly from Google. And here's a link that you can check out if you would like to set this up for your Windows 10 device. But it's easy peasy lemon squeezy. It's very easy to use. All right, folks, let's go ahead and have our first review question for the day. All righty. So Which of the following services can be used to create, measure, and understand your organization's web traffic? Okay, is it Google AdWords? You know what? That sounds pretty correct to me. Is it Webmaster Tools? Webmaster Tools doesn't actually exist anymore. They changed it from Webmaster Tools to the Search Console. So I wouldn't say it'd be that option. Is it the Google Cloud platform? Well, that could certainly help, but that's not the intention of that. Is it Google Analytics? Actually, yes, that is the correct answer. I misspoke earlier. So Google Analytics would be the correct answer that we would use. And that is a free tool that allows us to be able to understand, measure our web traffic. Often we'll use analytics in conjunction with AdWords. We'll use it in conjunction with Webmaster Tools or Search Console, in conjunction with Google Platform. But the primary tool that we would use to understand, measure our organization's traffic would be that analytics platform from Google. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and dive back into our presentation and let's look at some of the other fantastic Google products that are useful for everyday life. Now, the reality is Google has literally hundreds of products, platforms, services, and more. And in this Everything Google series, I want to dive into a lot of these in depth. And so what we're going to do today is we're just going to kind of do an overview of some of the least, least widely known of these specific tools, and also some of my favorites as well. I've kind of thrown in a couple of oddballs in here, and I've also tried to identify the ones that I think are the most useful for you. Now, Google stuff is, as I mentioned previously, with their business tools, the same with their personal, almost exclusively everything is free, although they do have some utility-based stuff. And sometimes they have to move from one to the other. You know, well, they'll have a free version, and then you might have to pay to get the premium version. It just depends on what you're looking for. But their tools, in my opinion, are just indispensable. You know, it's, you know, the tool that I'm going to reach for, whether I'm trying to find the best map and the best route to get to work in the morning, or, you know, if I'm traveling the world and I'm in a restaurant and with a menu that's not in English, well, this is going to be the application platform that I'm going to reach to translate that into my native tongue. So here's some of the ones that I find to be most useful. And as you can see here, I mean, these are just some of the icons of some of their more widely used tools. And Google just has this incredible breadth of functionality. Everything from example, from YouTube videos and watching, you know, content in that way, to managing your photos, to listening to music, to communicating with your friends, to securing your computer, to learning in the classroom, to managing your household, to building a presentation, you name it, Google kind of has a tool for it. Now, Google is one of the absolute best options when it comes to spatial analysis. And I'm going to use a very inclusive term here, spatial analysis, geospatial analysis. And what that really kind of refers to is mapping, cartography, route planning, trip making, things of this nature. And Google has, I would say, probably three big products in that geospatial arena that are available for you to use. And they are Google Maps, Google Earth, and Waze. Okay. And while they're all very similar, they do kind of have a different niche in terms of what they're doing. Now, their most flagship product, in my opinion, would probably be that Google Maps application. And it is, I would say, in terms of the consumer mapping space, definitely the biggest application out there. And you could do everything from, you know, looking at a specific latitude and longitude and looking at it from either a political map or a satellite imagery or something else, to routing your trip in terms of where you should go. And they're probably most famous for their route planner, and they're probably most famous for their traffic analytics. So the Google Maps will take into account a number of real-time analytics to try to give you the best possible route and also a realistic timeline to get from point A to point B. And you can utilize the Google Maps application on the web. You can use it on your iPhone. You can use it on your Android. And it's going to tell you how to get from one place to the other. Additionally, what's also kind of cool, one of my favorite things about it, especially when I'm traveling in major cities or abroad, They also integrate in a number of public transportation providers. They've got this thing called the General Transit Feed Specification, or GTFS, which is fantastic because if you're in New York, for example, and you want to know what train to take, or if you're in Paris and you want to know what train to take, or if you're in San Francisco and you need to either take BART or a bus, you know what? Google can be great because it'll tell you exactly how to get from one side of the city to the other utilizing public transportation. So you can optimize a route for walking. You can optimize a route for car travel. You can optimize a route for public transportation and others as well. In my opinion, also, their traffic analytics is probably the most accurate out there. When you agree to use Google, when you agree to use Google Maps on your phone, you also agree to share feedback metrics with Google. So, you know, if you think about, for example, driving from one side of the city to the other, I mean, there could be tens of thousands, depending on the city, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people making that same commute. Well, how many of those people have their phone on them, and how many of them are routing in the same way that you are? Well, Google is gathering those metrics from those thousands of people, aggregating it, and they're using this to kind of get a sense of traffic jams and how long something's going to take. And it'll give you a nice colored map as an overlay to show you the expected speed of a particular route and a particular road. Now, Google also has this Street View service, which is really cool. I use the Street View service pretty regularly when I'm going somewhere that I've never gone before to kind of get a sense of what the curb is going to look like. When I pull up, for example, is my truck going to fit? You know, is there a parking lot? What does it look like from the Street View so that when you arrive, you have an expectation of what you and where you need to go? And the Street View product is probably one of the most well-known things that Google has provided. They literally took cars and bikes and in some instances, even donkeys to get some of the more remote areas of the world. And they mounted cameras on these things and they would drive around, you know, for millions of miles documenting the conditions of roads. And so you can go to pretty much anywhere in the United States now, plop a camera on that road, and you can see exactly what it looks like to get a street level view of that particular location. And you can do this both on the web as well as within the mobile site itself. Now, Maps is available at maps.google.com. And you can, it will automatically, for example, just show you the current location of where you are at. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. I'll show you my hometown of Big Bear Lake, California. And we can kind of get a sense of some of the cool stuff that we can do with Google Maps. Okay, so here is our Google Maps and a couple of things to get your attention to. Okay, by default, we're seeing a political map here, which is just going to kind of show us limited topography and then also just a general sense of roads in terms of where we are at. And you'll notice a lot of the Google advertising as well as Google My Business stuff will pop up here. We can see, for example, our Saucy Mamas is right here front and center. As well as other critical safety things, for example, like the Big Bear Hospital is listed here. And I think our sheriff's department somewhere over here. And I think if I scroll in a little bit further, we should probably see it pop up here somewhere. Okay, now a couple things that we can do with this, which are useful. If we wanted to change it from a political map and instead go to a satellite map, we can do that. Okay, and this will show us not live, but fairly recent within the last couple of years, satellite imagery of a particular area. And you can actually zoom in pretty far to get a sense of, my internet's a little slow at the moment, but we can get a sense of from a bird eye's perspective of what a community might look like. Okay. Let's go ahead and take a look at our spot Saucy Mamas over here. And let's say I wanted to pull up and I wanted to see, could I park in front of Saucy Mamas and actually maybe go pick up a pizza? Okay. What I can do is I can pick up my little guy over here and let me just switch my camera. Let's go to the top right. I can pick up my little guy here in the up lower left right hand corner of our screen and I can drop him on the street that I would like to examine. So we'll go ahead and pick up our little guy right here and you see where it turns blue, they have imagery of what that street looks like. So we'll go ahead and drop this little guy right here and you'll see it'll switch our view here and we can in fact go. And if we turn over here, okay, we start to get a sense of what that street actually looks like. Okay. And I can move up and down the street pretty easily. So if I click this link, you'll see the actual, slider will come down. And in fact, we can see our Saucy Mama's Pizzeria right there. So this is fantastic in terms of just wanting to understand. It's fantastic in terms of being able to see and experience what a community might look like or a business might look like without actually having to be here. Now, additionally, let's say I wanted to get to LAX from Big Bear Lake. Okay. Well, one of my favorite things about this is the route planning on this is really, really useful. Okay. So I'll type in LAX here and I'm going to click this directions. Okay. And we're going to go ahead and say we're going to start from Big Bear Lake, California. Okay. And it's going to give me a couple of different options in terms of what I can do. Okay. It gives me an option based off of different routes. You can see I'm about 2 hours away from here. And it also gives me an option right here using public transportation. Although I don't think I'll be taking that public transit anytime soon, a little too long for my likings. Now, quick hidden feature up here. You'll see this option that says leave now. Well, maybe I don't want to leave now. Maybe I'm planning this for tomorrow. Maybe I've got a 10 a.m. flight tomorrow. And this will take into account our real-time analytics at going on at the moment, then also historical analytics as well. And so if I needed to be at LAX by 10 a.m., it would say anywhere from typically to 2 hours to 2 hours and 40 minutes. So if we departed at 10, we'd get there at 12:40. And if we said we needed to arrive by 10 a.m., it's probably going to say we need to leave about 7:30. So we can see exactly how far we need to go. Okay. So it's kind of cool with respect to what you can do with this. And often I'm using Google Analytics at least once or twice a day, often just trying to understand where and how I'm going for something. And it tells us how to get there. Now, a couple of other complementary products to Google Maps that are a little bit different, but they have a kind of their own niche, is one is going to be Google Earth. And then the other one is going to be Waze. Okay, so Google Earth is a desktop application that you can install or can run inside of a browser as well. And it's kind of like Google Maps, but on steroids. And it's kind of intended more for like tourism of, you know, kind of understanding and knowing like what's there. I mean, it's a really, really kind of cool application to really kind of explore our world and understand what something looks like. It gives you the options to look at things in 2D and 3D. You can understand terrain. You can measure things. And you can actually even look at stuff in our solar system as well. They've got maps for Mars as well as the moon. So that you can understand, you know, what they look like. It's a free tool that you can just download for your Windows machine. I don't think they have a Mac client. I think they used to, but I don't think they do any longer. And it is a just kind of a really kind of cool tool. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. So you would need to install the Google Maps application. But once you do, it will install inside your computer and you can open it up anytime you want. Now, you can do a lot of the same stuff that you can do in Google Maps, you can do in Google Earth as well. So you can do directions, you can do other stuff like it, but it's a little bit faster. It's a little bit more responsive with respect to how this works. Okay. So here is our Google Earth. Okay. I can flip it around. I can go and look, for example, and with using the mouse wheel on my mouse, we can, for example, zoom in on anything, and kind of get a sense of where things are. Okay. So like right now you can see we're at an elevation, eye elevation of about 4,000 miles. It's listed, usually in the lower right-hand corner, and we can continue to zoom in. And we can start to explore this. And I love this from a trip planning perspective. It helps me understand like where might be kind of cool places to check out, where the forests, where the parks, things of that nature, you know, and we can go down pretty deep, very similar to how we would do this inside of Google Maps to begin with. You know, so if you want to keep exploring areas, you can. And then there's also a number of other kind of really cool tools for finding recommendations and maybe hikes and other user submitted stuff inside of it. But in my opinion, you know, for anybody kind of looking to explore the world, this is probably the coolest and best tool to use. Now, another complementary product in the mapping space is going to be Google Waze. Okay. Now Waze is a geospatial product for, you know, kind of very similar in the same vein, for example, as Google Maps. It's a mobile app that you would utilize in, that you would utilize with, you know, kind of driving from one place to the other. And it does even more, for example, in the space of, real-time feedback for a specific, destination. If, for example, is going to monitor as you're driving from one place to the other, it's going to make recommendations for other routes that might be more effective. And one of the things I really like about it is the fact that it is really kind of geared towards real-time information about conditions. Often, for example, you'll see, you know, an alert that'll pop up in Waze saying, hey, just as a heads up, there's a speed trap ahead. There's a hazard on the road. There's something on the right margin or something like that. And you just don't get that kind of feedback from Google Maps. But with Waze, when the app is open, there's all these buttons where the users can provide feedback as they're driving to help other drivers make better decisions. And so it's helped me, for example, avoid accidents. It's helped me avoid speed traps and the things that, that can appear on the road itself. It's all community driven. It's all curated. So the local information on this, I personally find to be the most up to date, and it's usually has the best routes that you can do. It's also great for finding, you know, recommendations in the area, whether you're trying to find gas, finding a good hotel, delicious restaurants, and more. And it's a free application for iOS and Android. Google owns it, but it's really kind of run as a separate tool. All right, let's go ahead and have our next review question for our presentation for today. Okay, which of the following geospatial products integrates real-time feedback from other users? Okay, so if I were wanting to get feedback on what I'm doing, where I'm going, things of this nature, what product would I want to use? Google Maps? Yeah, absolutely. Google Maps, for example, does offer and provide integrated feedback from other users. It's not nearly as, let's say, as robust, for example, as Waze, but it does provide it. Google Earth, yeah, not really. Google Earth is kind of like its own standalone thing for that matter. And it, again, it does have some of that features and capabilities. It's not really kind of geared towards it. And then we also have Waze. And I would say Waze, for the most part, is definitely the bread and butter. And it's definitely the one that is geared most to that feedback. So I would say out of the three of these here, I would say your Google Maps and your Waze are going to be the ones that are going to be most geared towards providing that feedback to you. All righty, let's go ahead and keep moving along here. Now, a couple other Google products that I really, really, really enjoy that I find to be quite effective and useful is, for example, the Google Chrome browser. The Google Chrome browser is, in my opinion, probably the overall best browser out there. And it's certainly one of the most widely used in that matter. It is one that we will, you know, use in a lot of different capacities for a lot of different ways. And it is definitely the most widely used of the browsers out there. You know, it is very effective for that matter in terms of being able to look up a website, being able to interact with, our favorite services that are out there. And that's often where we find it being used the most is through that web traffic. And it is used not only on the desktop side, but it's also very widely used mobily as well. In fact, Google Chrome is so popular, it's even replaced other desktop browsers. For our Microsoft users that are probably familiar with Internet Explorer, which thankfully has gone by the wayside for the most part, and has since been replaced with Edge, Microsoft's browser, the latest version of Edge is actually powered by Chrome. It's powered by a product called Chromium, which is Google's the engine behind the Chrome browser. So Chromium is the open source, freely available version of Chrome. Google's branded version with all the Google-ish stuff inside of it is called Chrome. And then other applications use it as well. You know, example, again, is Microsoft with Edge. They use and is powered, in fact, entirely by Chrome. So I find that you're going to have the least number of issues in terms of navigating of other sites, accessing content resources from other places, utilizing Chrome. My other favorite browser, again, I like Edge a lot now too, especially now that it is powered by Google Chrome. And I'm also a big Firefox user too, and they're completely different. You know, Firefox and Chrome, yes, they both browse the internet, but the way they calculate and browse the internet are very, very different. Now, another really useful Google product that I use a lot is Google Photos, okay? Google Photos provides a fabulous way to be able to index, backup, and access your multimedia using their services. And in fact, it's you can upload and store an unlimited number of photos and videos for no cost up until July of 2021. Previously, it was free forever, but unfortunately, I'm guessing it just became a little too expensive and probably had too much utilization. So they're unfortunately deprecating that free functionality in July. But if you get in today, you know, and you upload your stuff to Google now, that won't count against your storage capacity and you can still utilize it. You know, I've uploaded literally terabytes of photos and videos that I've collected over my years to Google. And you can access this by going to photos.google.com. Now, your photos are stored securely. They're safe. They're 100% yours. There's no question about that. And a couple of the things I really like about the Google Photos service is the fact that it does a really, really good job in terms of organizing it and making it searchable. It has facial recognition, for example, on the people, and has facial recognition on animals and children and all different types of things like this. And so you can search, for example, dog and find pictures of dogs, or you can name your dog. And if you have multiple dogs, and you can find just pictures of Winston or just pictures of Ruby or whatever dog you might need to be. You can also find pictures from that great vacation you took 10 years ago in China that you can't remember where you went to. Well, you just type in the word China and it's going to find all the photos that happen to have occurred in China. And it does this through two different methods. Ideally, it will use the spatial tags that your camera phone tagged for that photo when that picture was taken. But because they have so many photos, billions and billions of photos that have been uploaded to it, it doesn't actually need the latitude and longitude of that photo. It knows what the Great Wall of China looks like. It knows what the Forbidden City looks like. It will index those photos for you, even if the spatial information is absent. You can share photos easily with friends and family using shared albums, so you never have to miss a moment. Essentially, I can upload my pictures directly from my iPhone. They will be indexed immediately, and then I can share them out with other people, especially other users who have Google Photos. It's also a fabulous backup for your mobile device. Whether you're an Android or iOS user, you can use Google Photos to back up all of the photos on your phone so that if your phone is lost or stolen, you don't miss a thing and you still have access to those photos. It's a wonderful service. It's one of my absolute favorites from Google, and it's something I use all the time. Now, another great Google service is Google Translate. Okay. Google Translate, in my opinion, is probably the de facto gold standard with respect to free, F-R-E-E, multilingual machine translation. It has a mobile app. There's a website. You can translate text. You can translate spoken word. You can translate written documents, including handwritten words, which is truly incredible. It's not 100% perfect. I'm going to say it's upwards of 90% though. And it's really good where you're just trying to get the meaning of something. You know, if you're, for example, in a foreign country and you see a road sign, you don't know what it means, you can hold up your phone to that road sign and it will translate the actual physical sign from English, from whatever language to whatever language you'd like to go for. And so it's gotten consistently better year over year. And I have very high expectations that later in life, I mean, it'll be fully bilingual and fully translatable from anything to anything. So if you ever find yourself on a website and it's written in another language, you want to read it in English, great. Google can translate that on the fly for you. If you find yourself at a restaurant or you find yourself in a mobile marketplace and you need to haggle or negotiate or order something in a language that you don't speak, guess what? You can do all of that directly inside of Google Translate, and it will translate all of that on the fly for you. Now, utilizing this service is quite simple and easy. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. Okay, so you can check out translate.google.com, and you'll notice we can either translate text or we can translate a document. So if I wanted to upload a PowerPoint presentation or a Word doc or something like that, I could easily do so. Okay, so let's go ahead and just translate, for example, hello, how are you today? Okay, well, we can go from English and let's say we want to go to Spanish. Okay, so it'll go ahead and do this. I can actually click this little button right here and it will speak those words, you know. So if I'm talking with somebody, for example, and I don't know how to say it in their language, I'll write it in English and it will translate it on the fly for them. you know, as well as in other languages as well. Even things that are completely different, like Arabic or Cantonese or Mandarin, it will translate those for me as well. And we can go to any number of these other languages that are listed in here, and there are a ton, and they're always in changing those and adding new ones regularly as well. I would say this is probably the widest language pack out there. And you can actually build this. So if you're a business user, you can build this directly into your applications. So if you happen to have customers in other countries, you know, and you need to be able to offer a version of whatever you're doing in that language, again, it's not going to be perfect, but it's better than not having that language available. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at another application, which would be Google's flagship video service, which is YouTube. And in fact, I'm guessing at least some of you today are probably watching this presentation on YouTube itself. Maybe you're watching live, or maybe you're watching it after the fact. Google bought YouTube over 10 years ago, and I would say this is definitely a gem in their crown. It is a massive service, and in my opinion, probably the de facto standard for video on the internet. It's absolutely massive. There's over 1 billion active users every month. They serve 2 billion videos per day. Over 400 hours of video are uploaded every minute. And there are literally billions of videos in every possible imaginable topic. And you can upload your own content, like what we're doing with our presentation here today. You can consume other people's content. And in my opinion, this is where I go to learn now. You know, if I want to, for example, learn how to use a, you know, let's say a plumbing snake, you know, I can go find 100 videos from different people talking about how to use a snake. If I want to understand maybe the impact of a specific piece of legislation or a specific tax ruling, great. There's going to be, again, 100, maybe even 1,000 different people explaining it on what to do and how to do it. I use this for pretty much every type of technical topic you can think of, you know, whether it be learning how to use a new Excel formula that I haven't used before, or, you know, something more practical, like, you know, how to clear a drain or how to weld or something like that. And in my opinion, it is a service that's indispensable today, you know, and it's where people go to learn, myself included. All right. So that does bring us to the end of our presentation here today. Let's go ahead and have our final review question, and then we will go ahead and wrap up for today. Okay. How many hours of YouTube videos are uploaded every minute? Is it 1,000 hours? Probably eventually, but not today. Is it 600 hours? Nope, it is not. Is it 400 hours? Yes, it is 400 hours. 100 hours? That is just a little too low. Okay. So, and I'm sure this 400 hours is going to only just go up in the future. I'm sure this is something that's just going to continue to expand. And I find myself watching more YouTube than probably just about anything else these days. I mean, certainly way more than broadcast television, and even in a lot of respects, more than streaming. You know, I find a lot of niche topics, a lot of really specific stuff that you just wouldn't find on a wider distribution network where, you know, they have to appeal to the masses. With YouTube, like what we're doing here today, I gear these presentations towards financial professionals looking to use technology more effectively. I can do that on YouTube. I could never do that on other services. All right. Well, it's been a great presentation, great podcast. What did we learn today? Well, we learned about the different Google tools that can help us grow and maintain our organizational infrastructure, such as the Google Cloud products, Google AdWords, Google My Business, and others. Whether we're trying to list our business and find new customers, or we're trying to build organizational infrastructure and have you know, our cloud data, our data hosted in the Google Cloud, we can do that. We also looked at a ton of other Google tools, personal tools like the mapping tools, for example. We talked a little bit about YouTube. We talked about the Chrome browser and others, which can help your personal life. You know, the short story here, Google has no limit with the number of different products and services that are out there. And we can use them for just about everything, whether it be storing our photos, routing the best way to get to grandma's house, building cloud infrastructure for our business. Google has something for us. Now, this is the second episode in this Google Everything Google series. In future podcasts, we're going to explore some of the other major Google ecosystems, such as the Android products. You know, there's a number of hardware products, certainly the whole Google Play Store and the software products around that. We'll also take a look at some of their skunkworks, research and development, products that are way out there, what they call moonshot products, you know, stuff that, you know, might be 10, 15, 20 years out from wide adoption. You know, they've got this incredible self-driving car project called Waymo. They've got this internet project utilizing weather balloons at high altitudes and others. And we're also going to continue to expand and look at a lot of the lesser known Google products, apps, services, and more. I think they've probably got somewhere around probably 200 or more different products and services that you could choose to utilize in one way or the other. And so we're going to dive into them. And in future podcasts, we're actually going to go and maybe just spend a whole day on Google Photos and how we can use that service to the best of its ability. Now, I do want to remind you, if you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, you can earn credit for listening to today's podcast. It's super, super simple. You listen to today's podcast, then you head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code GOG2. You take a short 5-question quiz on what you heard today and what you watched, and then you will earn a credit and you will get a certificate that you can print off and keep for your records, and you will be well on your way for maintaining your professional licensing. Additionally, for your purchase, you also get a DRM-free copy of the learning materials. You can ask questions, you can engage, lots of cool stuff there. So check it out today, cpetoday.com, use course code GOG2 for today's podcast. If you like today's material, and I hope you did, as always, we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Tell us what you like. If you have any ideas for other courses and contents and things that you might like to see, you can find us on pretty much every social media channel at cpetoday.com. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and others. And if you like today's content, please consider leaving us a comment and maybe even subscribing to our channel. We're a growing business, and every little bit of help matters and is important and valued by us. As always, you can listen to our podcast on your own time. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and others, again at CPE Today. Love for you to leave a comment, or if you really like our content, leave us a review. Again, every little bit helps. It's been my absolute pleasure. I really appreciate your time and attention. It is so much fun putting these courses together, and we've got so much more great content on the horizon. Hope to see you in another podcast soon. Best wishes. Good luck.